Cliffcentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life, with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
Waiting for the start, he hits the lever, there's the roar, they're on their way in the Vodacom Durban July. Into the home stretch, they come, the Vodacom Durban July.
Cold shivers when I hear that racing commentary. How do you feel about it, Lance?
Oh, it's so interesting, Gary. I must say, it's actually very fun to be there in person, just to experience the voice, the atmosphere, the ambience. It's just amazing.
Nothing like the Vodacom Durban July, which takes place this very Saturday. And as we know, it's the, I think it's Africa's greatest horse racing event.
Indeed, indeed. I mean, this one is just one of the best because, economically speaking, apparently last year it boosted the economy in KZN with 440 million. 440, yeah. That's a lot of money. And it's only for 4 days, apparently. Yeah. And that is something very incredible.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Sanbonani, everyone. I'm Gary Hertzberg. You've just heard the voice of Lionel
Makokotlela.
Makokotlela. My pronunciation's okay on that one.
Certainly. You're on point, above point.
Okay. This is the Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com, which is the sexiest radio platform in South Africa.
Indeed.
Everybody wants to be on Cliff Central.
Indeed.
Yep. Welcome to you, Lionel, and also to Duncan Mabaso. Welcome, Duncan.
Welcome, everyone. Gary, how does it feel to be the leading face for the sexiest radio platform?
I wish I was the leading face. Gareth Cliff is, but Gareth's a bit sick today, I think.
Yeah, and how are you feeling, Gary?
You know, I can't get rid of this cold. I have a 5-year-old kid. He brings home a different something every week, and as I get rid of one, so the other arrives.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Get well soon.
Thank you, Lionel. Anyway, with all the money involved in the sport of racing, it's really interesting to know how horse racing is regulated in South Africa. A lot of people want to know about the rules and the laws. In place to eliminate any malpractice which may arise in horse racing, and these rules and laws are very, very strictly implemented, as you'll hear as we go along. Joining us today is the policeman, they call him. It's Arnold Hyde. He's the Racing Control Executive with the National Horse Racing Authority. We're going to call them the NHA, the National Horse Racing Authority. They police the entire race from beginning to end and all that goes with it. He's going to explain how it's regulated and how the horse racing in South Africa is maintaining its integrity. Welcome, a very warm welcome, Arnold Hyde.
Thank you very much, Gary. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be in studio.
Excellent. Also with us is a well-known name. Everyone knows the name of Larina. It's Tex Larina. He's daddy of Gavin. Sorry to call you that. You should be just, Gavin should be the son of Tex. But anyway, right now Gav is a big name in racing. He's racing on Saturday in the Durban July.
Yeah, Gary, thank you for having me in today. He's in the July. He's just come back from Hong Kong. He's serving a suspension for some interference in some races he's riding in. And yeah, he's just getting himself ready for the big day.
Cool. Tex has also ridden the July. What year were you, Tex?
I rode from 1970 to 92, and I rode in the July 1989.
I think you told me before the show, it's probably one of the most exhilarating rides you can get because it's South Africa's premier event, kind of, yeah?
Yeah, it's a grueling race. It's because everybody wants to win it, from the groom to the owner, trainer, jockey, and the pressure's there and the dream is there. So, yeah, it's certainly a grueling race. It's out of the ordinary, yeah.
We also have a very popular man in South African racing. He's the general manager of racing at Pumalela. His name is Jay Harilal. Welcome, Jay. Great to have you here.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's my pleasure to be here.
Good. If you want to get the winner of the Vodacom Durban July, you have to stay with us till the end, because Texas is going to give us the winner. This show could mean a lot of money to you, so you've got to hang around.
Gary, yeah. I would be careful with your wording, because you are a lawyer, so you need to be quite careful. You are skating on a very thin ice.
You're right.
How would he know? Because now we've got somebody who polices the industry. So
they don't police Tex. Tex knows what's good.
Oh.
Okay, so you take Tex's advice at your own risk.
Okay,
in any case.
Okay, no, as long
what's
as
the
we
countdown,
have
countdown, guys. We've got the countdown coming up of exactly how many days, hours, minutes, seconds. It's here we go. As we sit here, 4 days, 4 hours, 17 minutes, and 54 seconds until the countdown. Many thanks to sportingpost.co.za for loading this up. 4 hours, four days, 4 hours, 17 minutes, 42 seconds.
Are you going to Durban, July?
I hope to be. We'll have to see. Depends whether the, who can sponsor us? I mean, Vodacom, maybe.
Oh, Vodacom, yeah. With a VIP something.
Unless they make us stipes for the day. We're going to talk about what a stipe is. Maybe we, as a lawyer, I can become one of
those. Oh, yeah. I think you'd do very well in that industry. Don't you want to leave practice and just become a stipe?
Well, we'll have to find out what gets paid there. Our numbers lines, you want to give out the numbers?
Oh yes, you may get in touch with us on 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189, or at Hertz Law. You do the spelling, you're the lawyer.
H-E-R-T-Z-L-A-W. Duncan is just the MBA with a host of other degrees. There we go. Please stay tuned with us till the end of the show. We promise to give you the winner. Tex, putting you under pressure here.
I don't mind pressure. At the end of the day, you all have a flutter on the July. I still work for a living, so that's how easy it is. I wrote for 22 years, but certainly it draws the attention of the homes and businesses, and they all put in money and draw numbers and horses and enjoy the event, the people that aren't there. So, yeah, it's a household event. Not just any event at Greyville, it's also an event July at Turfentine on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to have are we entitled to have an office? What do you call it? Draw. Yes. I think we're going to do this at Cliff Central. I think we've got too many people working here. How many runners are there?
18 runners and 2 reserves.
Yeah. Okay, cool. The Durban July currently offers a purse of $4.25 million. Now, with a purse like that, plus an estimated betting splurge of about $200 million, I guess it's imperative that malpractice does not harm the sport in any way. And the responsibility to maintain and improve integrity of the sport is a very onerous one. And I know that the National Horse Racing Authority, the NHA, takes this all very seriously with a set of rules and laws that are really extensive. I've looked through them. I spent a few hours looking through them. And you watch absolutely everything. So let's go from various kind of problems that you've encountered. I'll name but a few for you, with you, Arnold, and then you can kind of elucidate on all that. There's one here that I have. There was a jockey that was fined at an inquiry held it wasn't the jockey, it was the trainer. And there was a urine specimen taken from the horse that disclosed certain drugs. I don't want to mention, they're too difficult for me to mention. But we'll call them prohibited substances. The trainer pleaded guilty, and there was a penalty of $40,000, of which $20,000 was suspended for 24 months, etc. Now, the question to you is, how do you take these specimens? How often is it done? Yeah, something like that. Just take us through the process.
Gary, specimen collection, is collection that not only takes place on a race day, but we have what we call out-of-competition testing as well, that the stipendary stewards and veterinary surgeons can take specimens from any horse that they select, from trainer stables, any day of the week, any time. And,
Do they walk in just unannounced and they say, we'd like to take a specimen of this horse that's running on Saturday? Is that kind of how it works?
Yes, that can happen, but as a general course as well, they can arrive at any trainer's stables and tell the trainer that they'd like to take samples from any particular horse. Whether
is this
it's
random, or is there a reason why they'd be taking the sample?
Normally it's random. It doesn't have to be random. If there's a tip-off, for instance, they've got that right to go and select certain horses. It doesn't just have to be random.
If a horse has been doing particularly well, would that horse be earmarked for a test? So, and forgive me for interrupting you. The actual prohibited substances, are those performance enhancers, like with an athlete? What are those substances?
It can range from pretty much your normal innocuous medications that would be anti-inflammatories that any athlete would take during their training. When that takes place during training, any medication needs to be entered in a veterinary treatment register, which can be perused by the veterinary surgeon or stipendiary stewards that visit these training yards. It can be anything from salbutamol, you know, your normal asthma inhalers. It can be caffeine, for instance. There's a whole host of substances that can be tested by our laboratories. And the stops can take these tests during the out-of-competition testing phase, which doesn't fall on a race day. Testing can take place before a race when horses have arrived at the race course. Testing also normally takes place after the race, where the winner is normally selected to give samples.
What happens, Arnold, if after the race you take a test of the winner and it's found that he does have a banned substance in his bloodstream? He's still the winner. He's still declared the winner, and payouts, everything's all clear. What happens then?
Well, the all clear is obviously given in that case. Once it is established that there's a prohibited substance in the horse's system, then an inquiry will be opened and it'll run its due course.
The words all clear, I mean, that's racing parlance. That's official. Once all clear is said, that's when the payouts and everything takes place. Is that when it's all confirmed, all clear?
That's correct, yes. There's a number of procedures that have to take place before all clear is called.
Yeah.
The jockeys have to weigh in after the race, and they have to weigh in at their respective weights. If they are more than half a kilogram underweight, the horse is disqualified. So it's important that the horses are ridden to the unsaddling enclosure, that the jockeys do weigh in accordingly at the correct weight.
Sorry, forgive me, is a jockey text, is a jockey weighed before the race and after the race, or how does the weigh-in work?
Yeah, every jockey is weighed out.
Yeah.
And every jockey is weighed back in, whether he runs a place or nowhere.
Now, what can happen between the time that he's weighed out and weighed in? How could that change, really?
Well, from a jockey's point of view, it can be a very hot day. You could have sweated off 300-400 grams. You normally won't go past the limit that is allowed.
Mm.
So, over the years, it's been monitored, and that's why the limit is there. Don't come back more than 0.500 grams.
Does it ever happen that a jockey weighs in?
Yeah, on the odd occasion, it has happened.
Yeah.
And you know, and
then the jockey and the horse is disqualified, even if he's the winner.
Yeah, if you 0.5 under, 0.5 plus over, under, then you're disqualified. Yeah,
I think the point too.
Yeah, Jay. Yeah,
the point is that there are certain weights allocated to horses, and the jockeys have to make up the weight with lead bags, like apprentices and stuff.
Yes.
So sometimes the lead bag comes off the horse, like. And that is a situation where an apprentice or a jockey can ride or come back underweight.
It's a rare occasion, but it does happen and has happened.
Let's just talk about the Durban July. That's a handicapped race, is that right?
It's a conditions race.
Now, weight-wise, how do horses get handicapped? How does it actually work?
It's a specific conditions race. It's based on handicapping principles.
Yeah.
But we allocate a minimum, maximum weights to horses per age category. Right. So, let's say, for example, colts and geldings, those are your male horses.
Yes.
The minimum weight for 4-year-olds and older will be 53 kilos and 60 kilos maximum weight. The 3-year-olds will get a 2-kilo weight advantage for the age difference, and they will come in at a 53 minimum and 57 for the colts.
So the jockey is weighed, and all that weight is taken into account as well. So it's the jockey and the lead and the...
Yeah, actually what's happening is, what will happen is, after the trainer has nominated a horse to enter a race, the handicappers will allot a weight to that horse, according to its merit rating, its ability rating.
Yeah.
So then the jockey, let's say for example, will take Tex now, and his natural weight is 55 kilos. But now in the race, the horse that he is riding is allotted a weight of 59 kgs.
Mm.
So now Tex, with his saddle and his weight, he will have to weigh in at 59 kgs. So his weight, he will carry 4 kilos of weight, right, apart from his natural weight.
Okay. There's something that I find very interesting is about the stipendiary stewards. Now, I don't know whether you're going to take this, Jay. I know you've been one, or whether Arnold wants to.
Yeah.
We call them stipes. Is that the shortened name?
Yeah, stipendary stewards.
Where do they sit on race day, and how do they monitor that everything's cool? And how does
it work? The racing operator that will provide a room that is dedicated to the stipes. And then we have to ensure that the room is well equipped with the up-to-date technical equipment for them to monitor different views of the race. And then I think Arnold can expand more.
How many stipes are there per race day, roughly?
Gary, it all depends. In Joburg, we have 8 stipendary stewards on the board. In Johannesburg, sometimes there are 4 race meetings in the week, including a Kimberley on a Monday. So it is the busiest centre around the country.
Yeah.
Generally, there's 5 stipendary stewards in Cape Town, there's 5 in Durban, there's 3 in Port Elizabeth. And as I said before, the 8-man board in Johannesburg provides stipendary stewards for Kimberley, so they travel there on 3 Mondays of each month to police racing.
Okay, now on Saturday at the Durban July, there will be a room with how many stipes?
Gary, there will be 5...
resident stipes.
Resident stipes that are domiciled in Durban. We're going to send the chief stip from Cape Town to also work on that board because he'll lend 30 years of experience as a stipendary steward to that board, so he has much to offer the board on the day.
Yeah.
There's 12 races on the program. There's a lot that's happening on the day, so it is important that we have sufficient manpower to police the race meeting.
Okay, so the stipes are sitting in a room. Where is this room? Is it on the finish line, or could it be at the back? Could it be anywhere? It doesn't really matter where it is.
It doesn't really matter, Gary. They make use of television screens. There's 8 various angles that they watch from start to finish. So they do have the TV sets and the patrol forms that they utilize to police the racing. I must add as well that sometimes the stops will head up to the various towers with a pair of binoculars to watch the races as well. And we do utilize a number of part-time employees at each race meeting as well to form particular functions.
Okay, so there are sometimes objections that jockeys have been, there's been interference or bumping or whatever. Where's this coming from, and who adjudicates on this one?
Gary, when there's an incident in a race that may affect the results of the race, a race review will be called, normally by the stipendary board. A stipendary steward will take note of this incident, and he will call for a race review. That means that he is reviewing the incident, and he will form an opinion to see if the result has been affected in his own opinion. It doesn't preclude the owner, the trainer, or the jockey, or indeed another stop, lodging an objection on behalf of a horse against another horse that has beaten the horse.
Can a member of the public object?
No, they can't, Gary.
It's only officials?
It's only the stipendary board and the owner, the trainer, the jockey. If there's a weight issue, an underweight, then the clerk of scales will lodge an objection.
I have in front of me, there was a jockey in May this year. He was charged with contravention of one of your rules in that he failed to ensure that he did not cause interference to another horse when shifting out at approximately the 200-meter mark. Now, that's what you're talking about. Now, that kind of complaint, the jockey actually pleaded guilty to this one, and he was suspended for riding in races for a period of 7 days. Is that really what we're talking about here? Would the stipe have picked this one up, or would another jockey, or any one of those?
Well, Gary, let me just, if I can just use this opportunity to differentiate. You've mentioned, we've spoken about objections before. Now, the objection decides on the result of a race. So if there's an incident that has had an effect on the result of a race, that's one issue. The interference matter is an entirely different matter regarding a jockey that has caused interference to another jockey.
Would that interference not have had an effect on the result of the race, the one I've just mentioned?
Well, it could have. With an objection, you must remember that it's only the first 5 finishes in a race that can be involved in an objection.
Okay.
So sometimes there is interference that takes place out of the first five positions, and then there will be disciplinary measures that are taken against a jockey or an apprentice for that matter.
So whilst all this is happening, is the result of the race is held back and there's no all clear until this is sorted out, or how does it work in practice?
With an objection, obviously the objection has to be finalised before the final results and the all clear can be given.
Where is that actually held? In the same boardroom where all the Snipes are sitting?
Absolutely correct.
And do they make the decision? The Snipes together, do they? Is it like the TMO in a rugby game? Is that more or less?
A board will decide on the outcome of an objection, a three-man objection board.
They've got like 3 minutes or 5 minutes to do this?
Yes, well, you've obviously got to wait for the objector to come and state their grounds for the objection. Then the other party will have the opportunity to give their side of the story. The trainers, if the riders have objected, the trainers will also have an opportunity to give their side. Then the objection board will sit in isolation.
But Arnold, how long does this take? During this time, the public is waiting for the result. Am I right about that? And there's no winner declared, so everyone's on tenterhooks.
Everyone's on tenterhooks.
Yeah. And so how do you get everyone, the jockeys and everyone together in one room and decide this within minutes? It's quite a...
Yeah, Gary, I think it's not the matter how quick you get the result.
Yeah.
It's a matter of how the time you got to lodge the objection.
Yeah.
Now, after the whole field has weighed in, the clerk of scales is happy that there's no other objections going to happen with weights in that. They'll radio the stipendiary boardroom to say his side is all clear.
Okay.
Then they might be looking at an incident under race review and would have announced it. So there really is an action with the public, interaction with the public.
That's right.
That there'll be a race review. And then they might decide to go further and say, there is an objection being laid now, either by the stipes or by jockey, trainer or owner.
Yeah.
And then, but it's normally 3 minutes after everything's been settled that you've got a time to lay your objection.
Yeah, I think he alluded to the point that there's a time limit that you must lodge your objection.
Okay.
But what happens in other cases where there's already a race review, what happens? We have buttons in the Stipes boardroom that we press that the commentator picks it up and he announces over the public address system that, listen, there's a race review, or subsequent to that, there will be an objection lodged by which party, whether it's a jockey, whether it's official, whether it's a trainer lodging it. And the process will take approximately between 8 and 10 minutes to sort out.
How often does it happen in practice that there's an objection?
Gary, sometimes you'll have a month where there won't be any objections at all. In some months, there'll be many objections. In fact, in some race meetings, you might have two or three objections just in that race meeting. So it all depends on the circumstances of each day, really.
Yeah, Tex, you rode for many years. How does the public treat you? I mean, do they swear at you and curse you? You're supposed to be riding the winner. You come in stone last. What do they scream at you and call you a thief and whatever else?
Look, in my era, there was 20,000 people at a track, and today it's everybody is watching TV at home in the local club tab. So your big races you look forward to. So there's not much action on the track with public these days.
Yeah.
And you'll get your hardened diehards there, maybe a couple of hundred and a few thousand up in the rooms upstairs, the owners and people that like to race in a restaurant style. So, look, those days, thank God, they were good days because you knew it. You had a race meeting. You knew when you got beaten on the horse that was fancied, so they booed you or swore you, like you said. But that's all gone now because of...
There are going to be 55,000 people in Durban at the Durban July, aren't there?
Yeah.
Those are big numbers. So
great.
That must be great. How was that feeling for you when you rode that day?
There's nothing like a full stadium for any sports person to participate in.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of the jockeys like to go out to Mauritius and that, because there's a good crowd of people. It gives you a great feeling. Just an ordinary winner feels great, that extra bit, with the public interacting with the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad we've lost the spectatorship. It's because it's a great sport to watch. You don't have to bet. It's one of the greatest sports around, and we certainly, tell people, get out there to Turfany, Noval, or go to the July, or many other meetings. And the thing is, there's no charge to get into these tracks.
Is it free today?
It's free.
Oh, really?
Only July day will you pay a price.
Okay,
it's just to control
So racing is free. People can walk in.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Interesting. There was something I wanted to ask you about, if you don't mind kind of telling us. What does a jockey get paid today to ride? Is there money in this for a jockey?
Yeah, he earns 850 rand a race ride. It's not too bad.
Now you're kidding me, Tex. Is that all?
Yeah.
I mean, there are millions and millions on a horse, and he gets 850.
No, he gets a percentage of the wins. The percentage.
Oh, is
of
that the, where the money is?
The percentage of the win in a place. You know, they collect like 10%. Of the winning.
Yeah, we get a gross 10%, a gross 7, so it's 9.6. Yeah. That's when you win.
I mean, there must be such temptation. I don't mean to ask you this, Tex. If you're earning 850 and a guy's putting on millions for you to lose the race, I mean, it's a hard one for you to answer. How do you keep it as clean as you do? I think
that is a difficult question in terms of would you jeopardize your entire career that's ahead of you? You know, just for a once-off.
Well, Gary,
but Jay, we see it in cricket. Yeah, I mean,
even soccer.
Yeah. Gary, let me help you there. Yeah. Yeah. The days of big bet structures basically gone out of racing. You've got more of more people betting lesser amounts, and I think sports betting has changed the way racing, you know, runs their business or bookmakers run their business. And at the end of the day, the guys have a good upbringing through the academy. We guide them and explain to them that if they do any wrong through corruption, it will ruin their career locally and internationally. So I think I wouldn't want to represent people that I even believed cheated. And so we've come a long way from post-war, like we had a chat earlier. And I think the jockeys do a great job out there. And at the end of the day, the horse is in charge of everybody.
But how can he make a living? Forgive me for going on about this. He's earning $8.50. How many rides a month is he doing?
Well, he's meant to average 12 a month to keep his license and all his benefits in place, being insurance and medical aid.
That's less than 10 grand a month.
Yeah, it's less than 10 grand a month. It's just above the average South African salary. But when you earn 10 grand, you learn to live on 10 grand. This is the way life is, and it's for millions of other people in South Africa. It's no different. It's crowded. It's very thin at the top and crowded at the bottom.
Where's the money being made? Is it made by the owners, or are generally the owners quite wealthy? Is this just a sport for them?
Look, it was always known as a rich man's hobby, but today they've made it available that 100 people can be involved in one horse, particular horse, so it could cost you 500 rand a month to be involved with the horse and maybe one day get the picture on the wall. So it has spread its affordability.
Yeah.
As far as who's getting the money, well, they race for about 380 million a year in stake monies. I think they spend about 400 million buying horses, and you know, and to keep them costs about another 300-400 million to look after horses, an average of 10,000 rand a month to keep a horse. So it is a hobby, and not only a rich man anymore. The other guys, you know, syndication is a big thing, and it's a big thing in the world today. Yeah. Syndication. So
there's so much we want to talk to you about. We need to break now. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how the veterinarians deal with the horses, the laboratories, all that. We have some interesting stuff to follow. We'll be right back.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
Law. Like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on cliffcentral.com.
Waiting for the start, he hits the lever, there's the roar, they're on their way in the Vodacom Durban July. Into their own stretch they come, the Vodacom Durban July.
It's the Durban July on Saturday. I'm Gary Hertzberg with Lionel McCorkatlela and Duncan Mabuso. You're only interested in the fashion, I think, Lionel.
No, certainly. Yeah. And I must say, this year's theme, it says the leader of the pack. So that is the theme for this year. And those who are fashionista, like some, well, I would like to consider myself one, must just take this into account. But I must say, whatever you, the conversation you've been having, it's quite fascinating, because I really never thought there was so much going on behind closed doors at the horse races.
Yeah, thanks.
More on horsey news here. I'd have you know that in Botswana, they actually eat horse. Does that in any way, horses that have just been recently retired, would you send them over to Soweto, to Botswana for supper?
Well, going on that one, we've got a heartfelt horse care trust. We have a national trust where we rehome horses and look after and see they're not abused. Yes, Belgium also eat horses. It's a person's choice. I certainly wouldn't. To us, we love these. We have a passion for them. So, like eating a dog, I wouldn't do that, no.
Yeah, Anyone know about horse meat? Do you know about it? No, Dunk doesn't know.
Oh, well, I've tried other things, but not the horse.
You've eaten snake, Lionel?
Yes, I've tried snake.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually nice. Crocodile, I've tried. And shark. Shark was quite nice.
Lionel's a shark himself. You wanted to say something. Yeah. Arnold Hyde. Yeah, from NHA, yeah.
Gary, while we're on the subject, the NHA takes it very seriously regarding when a horse has finished its racing career and that the horse is homed into the best facility possible. So we do have the documentation in place that it does ensure that this is catered for when a horse finishes its racing career, that it does find second
The word cater... is maybe the use of the wrong word.
Maybe not the best choice of words, but...
Yeah. You wanted to say something, Jay?
Yeah, I think Arnold alluded to rehoming of ex-racehorses. It's taken very seriously now, but the NHA, through Arnold, are trying to implement new measures where we are on top of the retired ex-racehorses with complaints from the public about negligence and stuff like that. So we have implemented new measures, and hopefully we rehome these horses to be well taken care of in their retired age.
Yeah. Well,
what happens to the horses that, I think it was 2 years ago, there was a horse that actually injured itself and it had to be put down at the finishing line in Durban, July. What happened to the horse when it's put out? Do you...
Okay, as a racing operator in KZN, we had a request, and a horse called Rabia was, just after the start, it broke its leg, and the owners were very, very emotional. I mean, obviously... what we did, we arranged for the horse to be buried at Somerville Training Center.
I believe that your veterinary surgeons carry 9mm pistols with them, so that they can, if necessary, act quickly and humanely.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you actually shoot the horse at the.
You want to put the horse out of his misery, of its pain. I mean, the horse is going through a lot of pain, and the most humane way to euthanize it is, with a firearm.
Yeah.
Instead, they tried. I think Tex will tell you previously they tried another method, there were a lot of problems with that method. Tex, maybe you can explain further.
Yeah. Look. It's the kindest way, is the quickest way, if the horse cannot, race ever again, the leg is broken badly. That's the horrible side of racing, but it's a part that we unfortunately live with. And, they used to try and, get the horse shuttled up and that, but this was more painful and drawn out for the horse. Besides his natural endorphins kicking in, painkillers, which happens to a human being, it's trauma for everybody around us. It's just one of those sights you try and hope you never see.
I know, Gary. My dad also used to transport horses at the back of a horse and trailer.
Very
truck.
Interesting.
And he used to tell me, he used to stress that just driving horses, you need to be extra, extra careful, because you don't want to bump while the horse is at the back of the truck, because it just might break its leg and you would upset the farmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to be very careful. They've got four legs, and our transport system is brilliant. The horses are well loaded. They are used to traveling. The drivers are of the best caliber and well padded floats. They call them horse float. It's not just similar to the type of cattle one. The horses are very well looked after. Race horses and horses in general that are in competition, dressage, show jumping, they're really cared for unbelievably. They get like 5-star treatment.
Yeah, your veterinarians, is that the right word, you call them that?
Yes.
They really take very good care of the horses and make sure that their welfare is paramount.
Absolutely, yeah. Gary, yes. We have 3 full-time veterinary surgeons that are employed by the NHA, but there are other veterinary surgeons that work at every single race meeting. We have 2 veterinary surgeons on duty at every single race meeting to ensure the welfare of the racehorse.
Yeah. There's something I wanted to talk to you about. It's quite a tricky one. To our jockey, Tex, Lorena, sometimes it's suggested or there's a complaint that a jockey did not ride the horse out with sufficient vigor In other words, it looks like he didn't want to win the race. What is that? And I know some of them have been found guilty of that. What does that mean, really?
Well, look, at the end of the day, you can only go as fast as the horse is going. And I think the real thing that when that comes on is when physically it's not seen by the stewards and they don't feel that you're vigorous enough. Not in the first five, you could be eighth or ninth, six lengths behind. Mm-hmm. You're meant to do your job past the post and meant to finish as close as you can as to not upset the form of the horse's ability in that particular race. Then you'll get the exceptions where the guy in error would have misjudged the post or just didn't finish the job and so-called put his hands down before the line and he could be beaten for a third or fourth place or for a win by that matter, but it's nothing sinister, it's purely a silly, a professional shouldn't really, falter with. Easier said than done, because they ride 1,500 horses a year, your top jockeys.
Yeah, I suppose we're all fallible and we can all make mistakes.
Yeah, and sometimes overconfident, so these things happen, but thank God not too often. But when they do happen, they certainly are punished accordingly.
Yeah, sure. But there's more to it too, because what happens in a race, the guy goes to the front and he's leading the race, and then, approaching the finishing post, his horse is tired, like, he can feel, and then you get the saying, don't flog a dead horse. Like.
Yeah, quite right.
That's where it comes from.
Yep.
Yeah, and then the other end of the spectrum, that the stipendiary stewards, if the guy is using his whip excessively now, to like flogging the horse, as to say, he will get fined because he's in.
Can you actually see that he's?
Yes. We actually count the number of whip strokes. Yes, and then the veterinary surgeons will actually inspect the horse after the race to see whoop wheels on its side. You get wheel marks.
Thank God we've gone away from that. We've got what you call the crop now. It's very soft, user-friendly.
Do the horses feel this?
No, more noise than anything else.
Yeah, it's very padded and it's there to coax the horse along. But I must say, the world of racing's come a long way, and South Africa was number two to change their ways quite a few years back. And it's a very kind crop. Whip.
Yeah. I want to talk to you. Later, we're going to talk to you a bit about your son. Let's just take a caller right now. I was very pleased to see that Umlazi Township in Durban is doing something for its people. And there's a person called Sdi Nduli. Sdi?
Yes.
Hi. What's happening in Umlazi?
Good day to the listeners.
Yeah.
Umlazi will be hosting the first public viewing area of the Durban Vodacom July. It will be the first public viewing event, which is dubbed the Ekasi July. Ekasi meaning the township.
Yeah.
Well done.
And how's it working? Is there a big screen or how's it going to operate?
The venue is the King's Dolichini Stadium, and we will be broadcasting on big screens. We will be having big screens around the stadium, as well as on-site betting. We are fortunate Cheb Gold has installed two terminals for on-site betting, and they will also be having some ladies, nice ladies, who will be teaching people how to do the betting.
I see Lionel's eyes lit up.
Oh, yeah. Steve, I just want to know. I'm from Gauteng. My name is Lionel. I work with Gary. So I just want to know, what can I, apart from the fashion show, what else can I really get to learn about Umlazi? What is so unique about Umlazi that I, as a Gauteng person, can actually take back with me coming back to Gauteng so that I can actually tell other people? Mhlambe, your Chisanyamas of this world, your historical places around, are there any of those sites seeing that one can actually come to actually just capture the imagination with?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the first one, Leah, is Umlazi is the only township in the world, correct me if I'm wrong, is the only township in the world that has its own number plate.
Okay, D, I will get your numbers and I'll be giving you a call. I'm driving down to Durban on Thursday, Mhlambe Friday. I'll come around and check out Umlazi Township.
Excellent. What do you mean by your own number plate, D? What do you mean your own number plate?
We have our own number plate. It's MUZ.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
It's the only township that has its own recognition.
You know, Jay, you know about that
as
well.
Yes, I'm formerly from Durban, so I live close by.
Okay. What I like about this is that residents could not normally go to Greyville on Durban July. It's just too expensive for the average. So they can come and share it with you there. I think you've got some great artists as well. Just tell us who's there, who you got on Saturday.
Apart from the bad team, we have great DJs who will be doing their things there. And apart from that, even we do have, we've even arranged some tours, some township tours, like Leo was speaking about earlier, where anybody who would like to take around seeing what Umlazi has to offer, there will be the tour operators who will be offering that service.
Okay.
Umlazi is one of the greatest places, and as a township, like I said, it's one of the three biggest townships in South Africa, and we do have a lot to offer in terms of heritage sites, in terms of Shisanyamas, like you said, in terms of places of interest, I'll put it that way.
Excellent. Well done to you, Steve, and good luck on Saturday. I'm sure you'll have a massive turnout there. How many people do you expect?
In fact, the stadium capacity is 15,000, but since it's an inaugural event, we've come out later that we will be looking at getting it at 7,000-8,000 to the event. Since it's the first event, but definitely we will be having more events of this nature in years to come, because it will be an annual event.
Yeah, many thanks for this, Dee. Good luck, and we'll talk to you again. Jay, you want to comment? It's a great initiative. This could be done throughout the country.
It's an excellent initiative.
It's a way to get horse racing out.
Yeah,
there.
I suggest Steve gets in touch of Gold Circle, you know, so and he can build on this event quite nicely. Yeah. What does he fancy?
I think he's gone. We're going to talk about what do you fancy for this race.
I'm no expert, but...
Are you allowed to give your tips?
Yeah, I think so. That's what people are out there expecting, some sort of inside information as it is.
Let's take a look at the runners quickly. I mean, we are a law show, but we don't mind talking about horses as well. Who's going to take us through it? You, Jay, or are we going to leave it to Tex? Or how do
I think let Tex start the ball rolling, and then when he gets it right, I'll take over.
Tex, talk us through the runners, who you fancy, why, what we should look out for as a punter. No one wants to make a million, but 990 is okay, yeah.
Yeah, Gary, like I said, you know, everybody likes to have a flutter on the July. It's no different going to the casino and having a few rand each way on the wheel. Looking at the July, it's fairly open when they're betting 4-1 the favorite. I'm going towards the older horses in the race. The three-year-olds haven't really popped up big time other than number 3, Abashiri. And my personal little feeling is I don't think the track's going to suit him, but that's just my personal judgment of the way the horse, you know, runs. So my little fancy for the day, I'm going to go for a very strong biased choice of number 4, Master Sabina, ridden by Gavin, and then French Navy by Morwing to run second. Third to Bella Bella, the 3-year-old filly who's got 54 and a half with Anthony Delpech. And the other one I'll go for is Solid Speed, Stewie Randolph for Dean Kanemer. That's my humble choice for the day.
Are you choosing Master Sabina because your son is on that one?
Well, you know...
I saw the betting odds of like 20-1 or something, or am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I think you're right. Partly I'm going for that, but the horse has only run twice at Greyville. He's won once, and the year that he won, he didn't make it into the July 2-3 years ago, and he'd done a second and a half faster than the actual July on the day. So I'm going for his maturity. I believe he's well. He has a top jockey, top trainer, and a great draw. So that's why I'm going for him. So I think it's all going.
I would like the best place bet of the day. Anyone can help me with that one?
And you can go, the place bets are paying 1-6. So punters out there,
oh, really?
It's not the old, the first 3 or 4. They go extended to 1-6, which gives the public a real fighting chance for their each-way bet to come
in. So I've got a third chance of getting one of my horses
yep.
in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, the the horse coming running six is going to pay out less than the one running five?
Not necessarily.
No. It's pool betting. Yeah,
it's pool betting. So yeah, if your horse, let's say you took an outsider that runs in sixth place, it could pay 6 round, 10 round, or whatever. It depends on the pool on the day. The quartet pool on the day on the main race is expected to reach like 15 million.
Explain what a quartet is.
A quartet is a bet where you pick the first four runners in order.
Yeah.
And that dividend.
How many payouts are there normally? How many tickets qualify for that one normally?
No, I mean it's difficult because the pool we are expecting a pool of 15 million in the race.
Yeah.
You allow fractional betting, so you know you can take. The quartet straight line, or it's boxed. If you take it boxed, let's say for the full bet is 100 rand, you can take it for 10%. So it's percentage betting in also that helps, you know, in building the pool. Mm. The pick six is pick six winners. It starts in the fourth race. Six winners in each race.
Yeah.
That's expected to also reach a pool of about 15 million on the day. So those are huge figures that we're speaking about. As far as the selections in the race go, I had a look at the field, and I'm basically going on jockeys. Two jockeys are going for their fifth win in the race. One is Anthony Delpech, and the other one is Anton Marcus. And Anthony Delpech is quite a shrewd tactician, and he's ridden quite a few of these horses in races in the July field. He's ridden about six of them. And he's gone for what will make Lionel very happy. He's gone for the Fair Essex. So he's chosen the filly in the race called Bella Bella. It's number 18. It's currently, I think, the favorite. And I actually, apart from the name, I think this filly has a lot of potential. Anthony rates it quite highly. Mm-hmm. And I give it a very good chance in the race. So that's my choice to win it from probably... horse number one, French Navy, old horse, well-established form. And then I would go for number eight, Solid Speed. And for fourth place, I would go with a horse that I first went with, number 13, called Marinesco, but it's drawn a bit wide, which is of a concern to me. But I think it'll be running on strongly in the finish.
That's the voice of Jay Harilal. You've been in racing for...
22 years.
Yeah. I think we've got to take heed of what you say. Lionel's told me before the show he wants a double with Black Arthur and French Navy. I think that's what you fancy.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Just
I
on
think
name.
That's a swinger. It's called a swinger bet.
Oh, a swinger bet.
Yeah, double is one race to the next race.
Oh, okay. You learn everything. Yeah, you learn every single day.
Yes.
Yeah, our top cop here today, you can't say anything about betting in that, can you, Arnold?
No, we don't allow to bet at all. And I think I can speak for the stripes generally around the country that a good horse is one that runs to the best of his ability and runs straight. So, but we don't have any vested interest in the results at all.
Cool. Talk to us, Tex. Your name, Tex. You're originally from where? Tex is a nickname.
Yeah, Tex. I got in 1970 when I walked into the Jockey Academy. Yeah. The two senior jockeys said, one said to the other, "He looks like Tex." I said, "All right." They said, "Your name is Tex from now." So I said, about a week later, I said, "Why Tex?" Yeah. It was some movie, a cowboy movie, and the cowboy was called Tex Looks Like You. Anyway, a month later, my mom phoned because they don't have contact for the month, and she asked to speak to Carlos. Mm. And they said, "No, there's nobody here." She said, "No, I dropped him there a month ago." Anyway, they got back to an hour later on the old ring-a-ring phone and said, "No, we found him. His name is Tex." She said, "But it can't be. His name is Carlos, Juan Carlos." So it upset her for a while, but it's lived with me for 46 years.
You actually won Carlos from Argentina.
Yeah.
And with a son called Gavin.
Gavin John. We kept a bit of that.
Now, talk to us quickly. Gavin's done big things, chip off the old block. What's greater, for you to win it, Durban July, or to see your son?
Yeah. Look, it's he's done fantastically well with the odds stacked against him with weight. He didn't meet any of the criteria in the early days. I really thought he'd last a couple of years, ride a couple of 25, 30 winners. Mm. Well, he's broken numerous records, and he's just done us so proud, and he's so humble with it, and he earned himself a place in Hong Kong, which is a select half a dozen international jockeys that ride there.
Yeah, that's big, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been tough there. It's been an amazing learning curve for him. I think he'll come back a better jockey for it as far as international experience goes. And yeah, he's also looking for his first July. He hasn't written in many. He's written in about 6 or 7 of them. Mm-hmm. And like I say, you know, he is happy with his ride. He worked it the other day. And so
well, they say everyone wants to win the Vodacom Durban July. That's the one that you want.
Yeah, it's like winning the Melbourne or winning the Breeders in America or the Derby in England. Yeah, it's a race that everybody that's involved in the horse wants to win, eh?
There's a jockey called Brett Smith who you'll probably know all about. He said it's cutthroat and it's hard, the Durban July. And I guess that sums it up quite well, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, every man for himself in most races, but the stakes are higher, everything's higher. Mm. But pre-race, the stewards normally come in, the stipendiary stewards, give the boys a pep talk and task them to keep it tidy and all enjoy themselves and have a good race. But the nerves, the tension, the expectations are high. And, yeah.
As a jockey, did you take your kid along with you, Gavin? Did he come and watch you?
Yeah, look.
And scream and shout for his dad. Yeah.
Those days were only allowed in the car park. We weren't allowed in the race course. So used to be there with his mom with a picnic basket and his sister. And, yeah, they watched my racing. But I must say, I never rode at the level Gavin is riding at. He's at the top level. I was just hovering around the middle. I used to ride for the family. I'd done well for myself and for the family. And but he's at a much higher level, and today, like all sports, has gone to another level. So I'm just so happy that I'm blessed with two kids that have done fantastically well. My daughter in the academic world with Discovery Health, and Gavin as a rider.
Let's talk about the NHA. If you had to rate them, Tex, as a former jockey, do they do good work?
Yeah,
are they too strict, or are they just right?
They've got a very difficult job to do, as all the players in racing, because we've got to satisfy the punter. So. They have a huge task, you know, at hand, and they do a good job. The rules have changed somewhat for the better, and there's always room for improvement in any sport, whereas you just stagnate. So I think they're on the right track of improving, and you know, in the rules and the running of racing. It's one of those things you've got to just keep up with the modern world, and they happen to be affiliated to the World Racing of International Federation. So. It certainly helps them keep in line internationally. Their laboratory is 100% rating in the world, which is fantastic for horse racing in South Africa. So if somebody comes positive up in Hong Kong or England or France, they have the confidence that South Africa can send the referee test to them and it will be a good job will be done. So the NHA,
excellent. Yeah, if you want to report cheating and corruption, I don't know if you know the details offhand. Do you, Arnold?
I can give you the email address offhand.
Go ahead.
It's Rian, Rian, at nhra.co.za.
Yeah, I think if anyone wants to complain to the authority, really, it's the National Horse Racing Authority. Yes. Is that right?
That's right. And Gary, we have investigating officers in each centre that looks into any of these complaints. And
let's talk about the public. I mean, if I feel I'm being shortchanged by someone, a trainer, jockey, owner, anything to do with racing, I can knock on your door quietly and talk to you about it?
Absolutely. If you go onto our website, horseracingauthority.co.za, we will all the contact details are on the website. And get in contact with us.
Yeah, I've loved this show. I don't know too much about racing, but I've learned a lot. We've learned the behind the scenes of what's going on through jockeys and the authority. It's good to know the rules. It's a bit like watching a rugby match and not really knowing the rules. Now we know the rules from you on horse racing. Well done to you guys, and to you, Jay. Many thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Pumalela. That's what controls, that's the tote, the lot. You control everything.
Yeah, basically there's three operators in South Africa, as we said, you know, Pumalela, Gold Circle, and Kenilworth Racing.
Yeah.
And we provide the racetracks, the training centers, and we provide the betting side of it, you know, in terms of Saftote and your other betting outlets.
Yeah, to the public, as long as you do it within...
the parameters of the law.
Yeah, well, also within the parameters of your own pocket. Enjoy Saturday. It's a great day. I look forward to watching it either there or on TV.
Come on, Gary, please make up your mind. Are you going
not
there?
Sure, Lions. Oh, after this show, I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I think I'm going to take Texas, I don't know, Jay and Texas. I'm going to listen to the podcast, and then I'm going to make a decision based on maybe your son. I don't know why, Texas. I think Gavin... Gavin could be the man to ride this home. Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, it would be great.
Just to, you know, that we interview Daddy and then his son rides at home.
Then we can have him next week Tuesday. How about that?
Yeah, well, I think he'll be on...
Cloud nine.
Yeah. Or NBC New York. We've got access to him. Daddy's here, and Daddy will be coming with the son.
Yeah, cool. Thanks to you, Lionel, and to Duncan Mabuso, as usual, to Benji Scheinberg for his assistance. And lastly, Lionel, you told me that you bet on the last July horse you bet on. It was so slow that the jockey kept a diary of the trip. Better luck this time.
He's trying to read the instructions, maybe.
If you've had a personal experience you'd like to share with us, please come forward. Our Twitter handle is at Hertzlaw, H-E-R-T-Z-L-A-W. Please go to our Facebook page and like it if you do like it. And on that note, until next Tuesday at 12 noon, I'm Gary Hertzberg.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life, with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.